T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Before we welcome in our guest, TNT is the exclusive home to more NBA playoff games than any network, featuring first and second round action in the exclusive presentation of the 2017 NBA Eastern Conference Finals. NBA TV is the comprehensive destination for pre- and post-game studio coverage throughout the playoffs, and will also air up to 9 originally produced telecasts during the first round of the NBA playoffs. And joining us right now, the former head coach of the New York Knicks, and now a Turner Sports NBA analyst, and that would be Stu Jackson. Stu, Joe Beningo, how are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. How are you doing?
Doing good. I can still see Ewing hitting that three from the corner in Boston Garden in Game 5 back in 1990. It's hard to believe that that's that many years ago that you coached that team, Stu. But, yeah, can you believe it? It's almost 30 years since you coached the Knicks?
No, it seems like another lifetime ago. But, you know, in terms of Ewing, now you can see him as the head coach at Georgetown.
That's right.
In the Big East, which we're all excited about, you know, in the conference. But, no, it was a long time ago, exciting moment, and I still cherish it, that Ewing hitting that three moment, as do a lot of fans. And it's kind of nice to hear once in a while.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Stu, before we get to the playoffs, let's talk about the state of the disaster that the Knicks are right now. I mean, could you believe that we would see this franchise fall to the level that they have fallen to, let's be honest, over the last 15 or so years? I mean, it's really horrible. Well, what's your thoughts overall on where they are right now and what Phil Jackson's doing?
Well, you know, it's no secret to anyone, and I don't have anything revolutionary to say with respect to the Knicks, because, you know, the city is so basketball-centric and so basketball-focused that everyone analyzes and overanalyzes, you know, what their issues have been. But to be honest, I thought going into this season, Joe, that they had amassed a roster that was capable of playing relevant games in the month of March and April, you know, either being in the playoffs or certainly vying for a playoff spot. That didn't happen as a result of, you know, some injuries and some, you know, strange happenings throughout the season. And it just, to me, highlights how difficult it is to build a winning franchise, and to do it in the greatest city in the world is even more difficult. But, you know, now they have ahead of them a real task, because they have some key decisions to make that I didn't think they'd have to make at the beginning of the season. That is with respect to Noah, Rose, and Carmelo. And when you even utter those names, you're talking about three of their main pieces that they need to make decisions on. And if the decisions are made that all three of them don't return for one reason or another, then you're back to a rebuilding phase. So, and I'm not sure that that's what fans necessarily want to hear at this point in time, but that's the reality of the Knicks today.
Can you see Porzingis as a legitimate franchise player, Stu?
You know, it's difficult to tell. I think so, but it's really a function, Joe, of how well he continues to develop physically and how well he develops his skill level. And on the skill front, I don't have any doubt that he'll continue to reach, you know, his potential, because he's a gym rat. He seemingly loves to work. He's got, you know, that work ethic and a commitment to the game. I think the guy just likes playing. And I don't say that lightly, because if you're going to be a great NBA player or a great professional in any sport, you need to have that sort of childlike love for the game. And I think he has that. Now, physically, that's something else. You know, what we've seen the past two seasons is what gives me hesitation. The fact that, you know, he's not been as strong at the end of the year as he has been at the beginning, but we have to keep in mind he's still a very young,
right,
young man.
Right, right.
Has the ability to get into the weight room, you know, continue nutrition and actually develop himself, because that's what it takes to really carry a team.
Talking to Stu Jackson of the Turner Sports Course NBA analyst. Turner, as we get rolling on the first round of the playoffs. All right, let's start with the East. Are you concerned at all about the Cavaliers? I mean, you know, they finished the season terribly, 9-13. Barely get by Indiana in game one, had to survive that last second shot by Miles. What about where the Cavaliers are right now, Stu?
Joe, I don't like where they are right now, and it really, to me, focuses at the defensive end. If you look at their statistics after the All-Star break, they were the second-worst defensive team in the NBA. Say it again. They were the second-worst defensive team in rating in the NBA after the All-Star game. That concerns me and is the reason why we don't feel the same way about the Cavs now as we did at this point last year. You know, all that being said, they had a stretch where they won three in a row or, you know, a bunch of games and seemingly had gotten it together, only to sputter at the end, lose their number one seeding in the Eastern Conference, which to me in turn makes their path to the finals that much more difficult if potentially they're looking at a Eastern Conference semifinal matchup against the likes of, you know, say Toronto, if perhaps they're successful. Being in the playoffs, getting to the finals, winning the finals is all about being efficient, conserving, having rest, but when you have competitive series like potentially facing them in the Eastern Conference semifinals, it gets more difficult. And that's what I worry about, also in the face that they are not defending the way they once were.
Do you think maybe them finally winning it last year, maybe there was a little bit, now we didn't see it so much early in the year, but maybe as the year went on, a little bit of losing focus, a little bit of maybe, I don't know what the right words would be, but how about that? Maybe them winning it last year takes a little something out of them going forward this year?
Well, I don't know if it takes something out of them, Joe, but it really highlights the fact that it's really difficult to win back-to-back championships.
Right.
For a variety of different reasons. We know that. It takes luck. It takes staying injury-free, which they have not been this season. They've had a number of injuries to Love, to Tristan Thompson. It's just tough. And then the mental grind and trying to conserve your team's rest throughout the year and hit that mark right so that you're peaking at the right time at the end of the year, it's not easy. And I just think that they're finding it difficult to put all those things together.
Stu, were you surprised? We had a couple of big upsets in the first round as far as I'm concerned in game one. Toronto gets beat by Milwaukee as the Greek Freak goes nuts on them. And then we saw the Celtics, and it's unfortunate, that terrible tragedy with Isaiah Thomas' sister. But the Celtics last night, Jimmy Butler comes in, has a big game, and the Bulls beat him in Boston. A little surprised to see those two teams lose game one at home. How about that?
Yeah, no, I was as surprised as you were. But again, you know, you're reminded in the, you know, Toronto Bucks series just how, you know, Milwaukee's length and their defensive ability and quickness really affect the game. And what highlighted in game one, I think, will exist in this series is that if Toronto is able, if they're going to win this series, they're really going to have to shoot the basketball well from a percentage standpoint. Because, listen, they're not getting second shots. They're not going to get shots at the rim. So that mid-range and that long-range game is going to be really important for them to shoot a high percentage. Else what happens is the Bucks, they get out. They get deflections, they get steals, they get out and run. And also, the thing the Bucks do that a lot of teams in the NBA don't do today, they will throw the ball inside, Joe, which is a great style of play to play on the road to control the pace of game. And, you know, they're dangerous on the road for that reason. You know, the Boston thing, you're right, that was unfortunate. But even without the tragedy, I thought Boston going into that series would experience some problems. To me, I still don't think Boston has that true finisher or that true superstar to finish at the end of the clock and at the end of the games. They don't have a second one other than Isaiah Thomas. That's a problem. Their bench gets outscored 35-22 yesterday. That's a problem. So, yeah, they have some issues.
All right, Utah wins as well. That Clipper team, to me, they need to get out of that first round. You know what? They really have, to me, Stu, been a big disappointment. I mean, you know, Doc takes over. You thought, you know, Chris Paul, Griffin, and all of that, it really hasn't worked out for them like they thought it would at this point.
No, and, you know, there be it for me as an analyst to, you know, identify what their problems are or have been, because I think they really are steeped in that locker room. And, you know, you can't speculate what's going on with the chemistry of this basketball team. Certainly we understand that from a talent standpoint, they're as talented as any team in the NBA. But something, whatever that something is missing with them. Mm-hmm. And now here they are, much the same way Toronto is, in that they're playing a highly efficient defensive team who's going to keep the game, you know, under 100 points. And they did it the other day, beating the Clippers 97 They're 95, the Jazz. They have young legs, you know, albeit that they're in the playoffs for the first time in a long time. The Clippers have their work cut out for them.
Yeah, no doubt. Again, we're talking to Stu Jackson of Turner Sports. All right, I gotta say it this way, Stu. I can't see anybody beating the Warriors. I do not see the Warriors not winning the NBA title. I understand San Antonio. I get that. You know, James Harden's had a great year. Whatever. If Houston continues to roll on, I can't see Golden State not winning a championship. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think all the signs, Joe, make your statement correct. You know, if you look at the Warriors, I really admire the job that Steve Kerr has done this year. You know, let's not have a short memory. At the beginning of the year, they lose their front line with Azili, Bogut, and they lose Spates off the bench. They, you know, trade away Harrison Barnes. They lose Barbosa. Five key pieces to that basketball team, all for the opportunity to get Durant. And sure enough, you know, adding a new player, a superstar player into the mix, they sputtered a little bit. Everybody said that once again the sky was falling. And then throughout the season, they lose Durant for 20 games, 19 straight with the injury, and they fall on some hard times. Again, everybody's saying the sky's falling. But at the end of the day, Joe, here they are at the end of the season. They're the best offensive team in the NBA. They're second best in defensive rating, and their point differential, which for me indicates the real strength of a team during the regular season, 11.6, the next closest team is the Spurs at 7.2. Mm. That is a huge gap between elite teams, and all signs point to the fact that they win another championship. You know, if they experience an injury or somehow mentally they get derailed the way they did against Cleveland last year in the finals, that could hurt them. But if all things go well, I think they end up the champion.
Cleveland gets back to the fight. So do you see a rematch, Cleveland and Golden State, or do you think somebody could knock the Cavaliers off now?
I think the Cavaliers are vulnerable. And I say that because even though they have the championship, quote-unquote, muscle memory mentally and physically to understand what it takes to win a championship, I just do not like the way that they're playing defensively, and that scares me, makes them vulnerable, so I'm not ready to slot them in the final.
All right, real quick before I let you go, MVP is who?
Russell Westbrook, without a doubt.
Over Harden.
Over Harden, yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, you need special recognition for special performances. The fact that he's done something statistically hasn't been done over 50 years. It needs recognition of him being the MVP in my mind.
Stu, good stuff, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
No, anytime, Joe.
You be well. Stu Jackson, of course, the former head coach of the Knicks, and now on Turner Sports, NBA analyst, of course, with the playoffs in full swing right now in the NBA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.